Not long ago, some parishioners were telling me about what life was like at Ascension before this church building was built. Back then, there was only the little church for the celebration of Mass. And so if you didn't come in time, you would be standing outside. I heard other stories of how they would have duplicate Masses in the parish hall. But even that wasn't enough to accommodate all of the people coming to Mass here at Ascension. And so as our parish grew, the need for a new church building was evident. And so in 1977, this church building was completed. And you can see that date on the cornerstone outside of the church near the main entrance. The cornerstone lists other information too, like the pastor at the time of the completion of the building, which was Father Drennan, and the archbishop who dedicated the church, which was Cardinal Carberry. In the past, and perhaps to some extent today, the cornerstone is a defining stone in the building. The cornerstone was the first one put in place, and all other stones for the construction of the building would be placed in relation to the cornerstone. However, the cornerstone of the church building is not as important as the cornerstone of the church, that is, the community of believers. St. Peter, in our first reading, tells us that Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone of the church. He was rejected by the Jewish leaders, but he's the cornerstone of the church, the new Israel. We are called by Jesus to be fellow stones of the church, whose place is to be determined by the cornerstone. We are all called to be children of God, according to St. Paul in our second reading. This calling is ultimately for us to be in heaven with God, where we shall see him as he is. To get to heaven, we must be like him. We must be holy. We are all called to be holy, since we are all called by God to be with him in heaven. But it is our choice to respond to that grace, to respond to that call to holiness. And as we draw closer to God, we grow in holiness. And we answer that call, that universal call to holiness. We are all called to pursue holiness, but oftentimes in different ways. We are not all called to holiness in exactly the same way. The word call in Latin is vocare. Our word vocation is closely related to that, since a vocation is a calling from God to pursue holiness in a certain way. The way that we are typically used to the word vocation used in our church today is a reference to a state in life. That is, a call to live out that pursuit of holiness in ways such as priesthood, religious life, and marriage. A vocation is not so much about us choosing for ourselves what we want to do with our lives, but rather us recognizing what God calls us to. It is about God calling us to live out our lives in a particular way that would lead us to our greatest holiness and our greatest happiness. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so he knows what will give us the greatest fulfillment here on earth on our way towards heaven. So we must learn to listen to God and to remain open to the ways that he calls us to follow him. Today is the 58th annual World Day of Prayer for Vocations. Today we pray that God's call will be heard, that it would be understood, that it would be embraced and accepted by all of the faithful. The building up of the church, the community of believers, has in God's plan for some of us to be priests, some to be sisters, nuns, monks, brothers, friars, consecrated virgins, or otherwise at his service. These vocations are lesser known and understood than the vocation to marriage, and so we pray in a special way for them today. Vocation can be referred to in a broader sense as well. God is calling for us to do his will in all aspects of our lives. And so even our occupation can be, in the broad sense, a vocation, a calling to live in a particular way in our pursuit of holiness, following God and his will. We should always be discerning what God wills for us and striving to follow his will, whether that is in whatever state of life we are. single, married, priest, or religious. We should follow him, like sheep follow shepherds. In the time of Jesus, the ancient practice was for shepherds to lead the sheep, to be in front, and to have the sheep follow after them. Jesus calls us to follow after him as he leads us to holiness, fulfillment, and eternal life. Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd in our gospel passage today. And he calls us to follow him as his sheep. Sometimes it is not easy for us to follow Jesus, to follow his moral teachings as he gives them to us in the church. Sometimes, even if he's calling us to do something good, we may hesitate, we may resist, not fully trusting the Lord, not certain that he has what is truly good in mind for us. Or maybe we had set our hearts or our minds on something different. And so when God calls us to something, we might hesitate to respond. But Jesus wants to reassure us that he is the good shepherd, that he reveals his love to us by being willing to lay down his life for us. He is not like the hired help who runs away whenever there is danger. Rather, he's the good shepherd who loves his sheep. He's willing to die to save you. And in fact, he already has. God the Son came down from heaven. He took on human nature. He went through his passion, death, and resurrection in order to make a gift of himself, to die on the cross, giving of himself out of love for us and love for God, that we may be reconciled with God, for we had fallen away by sin. And through the grace he won for us, we can be with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit and all the saints forever in heaven. And this sacrifice of his, this gift of his, reveals his profound love for all of us. And so, what more can he do to win our trust? What more can he do to prove his love to you? What more would it take for you to choose to follow Christ in all aspects of your life? Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd, and he is the cornerstone. We are called to follow the Good Shepherd, who we know is trustworthy, since he's willing to lay down his life for us. We are called to be living stones in the community of believers that is the church, allowing the cornerstone to determine our place for us. So let us pray that Jesus may give young men and women the gift of understanding to discern their vocation well, and the gift of courage to follow that call. It's one thing to know what God wants us to do. It's another for us to choose to follow and to have that strength, that boldness to do so. Let us all pray that we may know the personal love of the Lord for each of us and respond with open and generous hearts. Let us pray for an increase in vocations. There are prayer cards available near the entrances and special prayer cards near the main entrance under the posters for vocations. Being as this is the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, I invite you to take one of those cards with you to pray for vocations today. Let us all be open to what Jesus Christ calls us to, even in the small aspects of our lives, the little details of life. Let us be open to respond to those inspirations and follow the Lord. And let us do that even now as we prepare to meet our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy Eucharist.